Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, today is Christmas, for God's sake, and we've got Olin Kreutz to prove it. He joins us now on The Score hotline. Olin, I said it this morning, we've been talking about it, the Bears drafted touchdowns. Let's score some touchdowns. Yep. Come on.
Yeah, it was an exciting night for the Chicago Bears fans, and from a guy who has snapped to 20 different Chicago Bears quarterbacks in 13 years, and we've been watching this offense for years, and we hear Ryan Poles talk about changing the history on offense and trying to actually define what that is and what the problem was, and to go out there and get Williams and get Odunze. It was a good night for the Chicago Bears on the offensive side of the ball. I don't know when's the last time, maybe 2013, you saw this kind of talent on that side of the ball for the Chicago Bears.
We'll get to Odunze in a moment because of your connection through Washington, Olin. But I think when you look at Caleb Williams, from your experience and your vantage point, what do you see that you think makes him special and maybe ends the cycle of quarterbacks running through here?
Well, I think the thing you really like, David and Mully, is the way the ball comes out of his hands quickly, right? Because that's what translates to the NFL, is getting the ball out fast, being able to see the receiver, getting the ball out before the wide receiver is actually open, processing information. When you turn his film on, you can see that. You can see the release. There's a reason this guy, everyone is saying, like, he's the best prospect we've seen in a long time. Because when you turn his film on, you see a lot of things that you like. You see a lot of him make a lot of plays, and he's playing the style of, you know, Patrick Mahomes style, the new quarterback, the new era of quarterback who can also run and hurt you with his legs. He makes the defense defend the whole field. A guy like him slows down the pass rush because you don't want to let him outside of the pocket. You don't want to let him create plays, but he also can do the things with his accuracy, with the way he gets the ball out, with the way it looks like he reads the field. We don't know all the things he was doing in Lincoln Riley's offense as far as changing plays, checking protections, those things we have to learn about from him. But just his film, just the way he throws the ball, the way the ball comes out of his hands, his footwork in the pocket, the way he creates plays, you cannot not be excited about watching Caleb Williams play quarterback in college and know the history of the Chicago Bears and what they've had at quarterback. You cannot not be excited about watching this kid play football.
And you look at this wide receiver room, right? So DJ Moore is a stud. Keenan Allen is an all-timer, six-time Pro Bowler. And now Rome Odunze. Yeah. We were talking about, like, the ball should not hit the ground. These guys can catch everything.
Yeah, I heard Brad Biggs talking earlier, and I've been through a lot of seven-on-sevens that he was talking about up there at Hallis Hall, where you're wondering, what is the actual completion percentage just at practice? And it wasn't very good. And that's how you know you don't have a very good passing offense, right, if you can't complete the ball in practice. But this practice should look a little different. Shane Waldron's group, I think Chris Betty is the wide receivers coach. He's got a good job there with that talent he has in that room. Seven-on-seven should be fun to watch up there at Hallis Hall this year with the matchups they have on the offense going versus the defense and them challenging each other. The quarterback is young. He does have to learn. That's a talk for another time. But just as far as talent in that building, on the offensive side of the ball, Ryan Poles talking about studying his history, defining the Chicago Bear history. What was the problem here? Why weren't we successful? Filling that room with talent. Where he's come from, guys. What he has done since he's walked in that building to change the roster. Everything went according to plan. The talent's in that building. Now can they develop it? But like you're saying, Mully, very interesting to go up there. Even with Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift at running back. Yeah. Man, they got guys who can put the ball in the end zone.
One of them is Rome Odunze. You're familiar with him certainly from Washington. You guys share having played for that program. And he's 6'3", 212. He runs a 4.45. He's very good in whatever role you ask him to play. Olin, what kind of insight do you have into his career and his growth, and what makes you think that he can make an immediate impact?
I don't have a lot of insight. I've seen him play, obviously, just because he played for my alma mater. But when you listen to him talk, when you watch his body control, the way he runs routes, his knack for getting open, for coming down with the ball, like you're talking about, his size, his willingness to learn the position, to get better, seems like he's very humble. Seems like you put him in a locker room, he can become a leader, a pro's pro for you at the wide receiver position, guys, is a rare thing, right? A guy who teaches other NFL football players how to work, how to be football players. When you have your skill guy, if he becomes this guy, which he seems like he is when he talks, it seems very humble, very aware of where he is throughout his career, how he can learn from Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, what he has to work on, very aware that he needs to be in the building early, working on his game. When you get your skill guys to be those guys for you, man, it changes your culture. It changes your locker room. Everyone following guys, a wide receiver, on how to be a pro, how to bring toughness to the game. It's going to be very interesting to watch his career. When he started falling in the draft, a lot of people thought he was going to go earlier. I heard Brad Biggs mention that earlier also. I didn't think he was going to be there at nine.
Right.
When he started falling in the draft, and then all of a sudden they took him. And, you know, it's kind of changes it for you, right? Either the Bears, before you always watch the good teams, guys, and you say, man, how'd that guy end up on the Baltimore Ravens, right? How did the Pittsburgh Steelers get that damn guy again? Well, the Chicago Bears just had that happen to them. A guy that everyone thought was a can't-miss prospect. He kept falling, and all of a sudden he ends up in the Chicago Bears building. And again, we're talking about Ryan Poles, talking about changing history. The guy everyone talked about was the can't-miss prospect, fell to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, and it was a gift, and they accepted the gift, and I was worried that they would outthink themselves. They did a great job. Olin, you know, I've asked this question of a lot of people, and Dave Wannstedt said that he thought he saw Braxton Jones getting better at the end of last year. Because the question was, you know, should they get an offensive tackle? Is that the move they should make? They drafted one last year. Do you need another one? They got a fifth-round pick there in Braxton Jones, and he has played. They've invested time in his development. Do you see him getting better? And, you know, a guy going into his third year, sometimes we see a jump. Scary injury last year. You worry about a guy that went through a neck thing. Where are you at with the offensive line and a guy like Braxton Jones? Are the Bears still looking to improve that position, or have they got it solved a little bit?
Yeah, you know, you look at this offensive line, and if you pose one question, it's the offensive line, right? Where does Darnell Wright end up in his second year, guys? Right, like I know the first offseason I had was a little strange, right? You all of a sudden you're not preparing for a draft. You don't have a place to train, so you got to go find a place to train. You got Braxton Jones, you got Nate Davis, you got Tevin Jenkins, you got Bates, the center that comes over from Buffalo. Can Tevin Jenkins stay healthy at left guard? Can Nate Davis provide some consistency at right guard? This group we'll be watching. Again, the offensive line, we're watching. Olufoshanu is there. He's there for you to take as another guy. I'm an offensive line guy. We hear Jim Harbaugh talk about how he feels about offensive linemen down there in San Diego. You know, again, I always talk about this. Everybody wants all these. Everybody complains about the offensive line all year, right? All year, the offensive line come drafted and want the quarterback and the wide receiver, so they can complain about the offensive line again. So we know that we've seen this story before. Now, those two guys the Chicago Bears just took, it's hard to argue with, right? I mean, even I'm sitting there and I want Olu. I want to trade up for Alt, right? I think Alt's a good football player. I think he's a can't miss. I want to do all those things as an offensive line guy. I probably take Olu there, right? I probably take a left tackle there, put him in my room. I probably put him in my room and get offensive line to compete. But hard to argue with Rome Odunze there for the Chicago Bears. But like you're talking about, Mully, as far as Braxton Jones goes, I know I heard you guys say earlier I worked with him. I worked with him last year. I haven't seen him this year. I know he had his neck injury last year. I know he's improving. He's a very impressive young man. I've talked about this a lot. When he came to my gym, you tell him to do one thing and he does it correctly right after you told him to do it, right? So he is that kind of guy. I know why the Chicago Bears are impressed by him. He has to have a better year. When you talk about his neck injury, the Chicago Bears got to figure those things out for him. Because when you talk about guys stopping a bull rush on the edge, well, when you have a neck injury, it means you're stopping it with your head, right? It means that you're absorbing force in the wrong areas where you don't want to absorb force. So he has to improve those points for him. But when you talk about, again, I'll keep going back to this guy. That's an interesting comment. When you talk about Ryan Poles talking about changing the history on offense, then he has to define the history. He has to define what the problem actually was there. And the problem is developing football players. You have to find what they're bad at and help them get better at it. So that's what they have to do on their offensive line. Someone there has to realize that the young right tackle, it's his first offseason with no school, no one helping to prepare for the draft. Make sure he's staying on track. Get Nate Davis comfortable here in Chicago so he's there every game for you. Figure out Tevin Jenkins' injuries problem. And where does Ryan Bates and these guys you signed, where do they fit in to the equation? Has Jatari Carter developed that whole offensive line room? He's the one coach you kept, Chris Morgan, because you're impressed with him. But, yes, they are the question mark right now besides the quarterback developing, becoming NFL-style quarterback. The offensive line would be the point you're talking about that you would kind of question.
So, obviously, Caleb Williams has an easy confidence that was – I think makes him likable, and we heard it last night, and we're going to hear it some more. And he also is coming into the league unlike any other quarterback ever has, Olin. He is part of the NIL era. He's a star before he earns his first NFL paycheck. And I just wonder, from your perspective, how aware does he have to be of that in an NFL locker room? Because he's going to be the center of attention, and I don't know if that makes him the leader of that offense, but I think obviously you play a position where that will be eventually his role. What do you think about that dynamic, and how careful is it for him to navigate early in his career?
Well, they got a lot of guys on staff up there, right? Up there at Halas Hall, they're paying a lot of people to help him in that role. When he walks in the building, define for him what he's about to go through, right? There's a lot of this city, that spotlight is going to be extremely bright on him. Like you're saying with the NIL, he knows how to handle his money. He seemed very polished when he was talking. I have two sons in college. It's an interesting thing going on right now in that arena. Some of these guys are staying. I wonder how many first-round picks you'd have to go back and look at. I think the receiver at the end were six-year guys, right? Like, how is that translating to the NFL? But as far as Caleb Williams goes, as far as him handling everything, doing the right things, look, win football games, be a multiplier, make the guys around you better. Nobody really cares what you do with your nails, what you do with your money, what kind of car you drive, what you say, how you talk. Make everybody around you better. Do your job. Help you, everybody win football games. Here's what a good quarterback does, guys. Bad quarterbacks get guys fired. Good quarterbacks gets everybody paid. You want friends? Get them paid. Get them to their retirement home. Get them big houses. Get them to get their families to Florida. And you have a bunch of friends in that locker room.
You know, I'm very curious what you think of this idea. You know, Ryan Bates coming in at center. I think he gives you depth on the offensive line, and you worry about some of the guard issues. But aren't you in danger of repeating the Cody Whitehair thing? You're going to move him to center. He did not play center in Buffalo. They had another guy who was a free agent, by the way. But then they went and they got the Rams center. I mean, they've got some cover. But I'm just curious if you're heading to the same issue somehow with Ryan Bates. Just saying he's a center doesn't mean he's a center.
That's exactly right. That is well said, right? And we'll see what they do with the third round. I think they have the 75th pick of the third round. But Shelton Coleman, I've asked some people about him. You know, if Ryan Bates doesn't work, and what are we saying? He's not a center. Well, we're saying handling all the calls, handling all the being a traffic cop up there, getting everybody moving in the right direction. Look, I don't want to ever hear about snaps again after what Mahomes did with Creed Humphrey snaps for winning a Super Bowl, right? I don't ever hear about bad snaps. Mahomes doesn't even care about them. Shelton Coleman, now I heard he does a really nice job at that, right? He knows Waldron's offense. He played for Waldron, so that style of offense, he knows the kind of calls that they have to make down with the Rams style of offense. So it is a position, Mully, I got to be honest with you, that I am watching going into the season, right? Again, here we are again talking about what I talked about. Everybody wants a receiver. Everybody wants a quarterback. Guess what we're all going to be talking about again once camp starts? Guess what we're going to be talking about again once the season starts? The blocking, right? The blocking, the left tackle, Tevin Jenkins staying healthy, the center. Can the center do that job? Ryan Bates. I always tell guys, you don't have to ask me what I think about Ryan Bates and Shelton Coleman. All you got to do is look at their contract. The Chicago Bears tell you what the league thinks about Ryan Bates and Shelton Coleman. The best guys in the world now making close to $20 million a year at their positions. All you got to look at is what these guys are being paid. That's about where they're slotted in the NFL. So can they improve in those positions? Yes. Mully, like you're talking about, is it possible that we're headed towards the same problems? It is extremely possible that we're headed towards the same problems with a guy like Ryan Bates, who we haven't seen play much center. We know Chicago Bears are high on him. Ian Cunningham has a connection to him.
Right.
We know that they've liked him for a while. They traded their, I think it was their fifth-round pick for him to get him here. They signed Shelton Coleman. They got Jatari Carter there. They got Doug Kramer from Illinois on the roster. So again, here we are again, peering in. When I call in, we're peering in at the offensive line again. Why? Because we took a receiver and a quarterback, which, man, I really can't argue with. Olu was there. That'll be what we're comparing those two careers as they go. Which one was more important for the Chicago Bears? They got to help Braxton Jones develop. They got to get those centers developed in the center position. But no offense, guys. No offense has every position right, right?
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about. Can the quarterback be the multiplier? Can he make you forget about the center position, right? I always say guys who play with Peyton Manning and Patrick Mahomes, they wouldn't know what an extra guy in the box looks like, right? They wouldn't know what a blitz looks like because they never have to see it.
It's great stuff.
Great stuff, Olin.
Great talking to you, Olin. Thank you, buddy.
Have a good weekend.
You too.